Nope. Seen it. Oh, nah.
Can't find something to watch? Introducing Sky Stream. It's Sky without the dish. Watch unmissable Sky exclusives like The Regime and Netflix too, all over super reliable Sky full fibre broadband. Get Sky Stream, Sky Broadband and Netflix for just €50 a month. Search Sky Stream. Availability subject location. New customers only. 12-month minimum term. Stream and broadband sold separately. Further terms apply. For more info, see sky.ie/speeds.
Remember, you can stay up to date on the latest news with the Irish Independent WhatsApp channel.
If you like the Indo Daily, you can follow us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast contains scenes of graphic violence and strong language.
When you're locked up in a concrete coffin, 23 hours of a 24-hour day, sometimes in life you've got to do something mad. The madder it is, the more dangerous it is, the better it fucking is. I've got to be honest with you, I've had a fucking party.
Today on the Indo Daily, Charles Bronson is one of the most notorious inmates in history.
In 1999, he was given a discretionary life sentence after keeping his prison art teacher captive for almost 2 days. Phil Danielson had apparently been critical of one of Bronson's artworks. During his time in prison, he's received 17 convictions, taken 11 hostages, and attacked more than 20 prisoners and staff.
Yet his parole hearing started yesterday. He told the parole board, "He had had more porridge than Goldilocks and the Three Bears, and I'm sick of it."
I'm 70 years old now, Martin. 70 years old. I've never murdered anyone. I've never raped anyone. What am I in jail for?
I'm Fionnán Sheehan, and today on the Indo Daily, I'm joined by Irish Independent Deputy News Editor Rory Tevlin to assess if one of the world's most infamous prisoners is ready to rejoin society.
He launched into an attack on prison guards after Arsenal won the FA Cup in 2014. He just took the result so bad that he lathered himself up in butter and attacked a number of prison guards. Carnage ensues when he does lose his head and lose his cool.
Rory Tevlin, Charles Arthur Salvador Charles Bronson Michael Peterson. All the one person. Who is Michael Peterson?
Michael Peterson is one of the most notorious criminals the UK has ever seen and has spent almost 50 years locked up due to a number of repeated violent offences. So he was born to parents Era and Joe Peterson in Luton, just outside of London, and seemingly had a very normal childhood. You know, family members have spoken about in the past how he was quite a normal child, went to school. There was very little to kind of signal what was to come in terms of his criminality at that stage. But when he was a teenager, the family moved to Merseyside, where his life kind of changed slightly. At this stage, he became involved in petty crime, and at the age of 13, he kind of fell in with a gang of kind of small-time robbers and was in and out of crime, criminal activity, missed a lot of school, and the violence in his life started to come into play at this stage. One of his more famous quotes, he said the best piece of advice he ever got was from his dad, and that was to always get the first punch in. It was only at the age of 22 in 1974 that he had his first proper criminal conviction, and he was sentenced to 7 years in prison for an armed robbery. And at this stage is where the violence really kind of goes up and his notoriety begins.
Yeah, so really he's sentenced for, you know, a violent crime, a serious crime. But nothing to make you think that 50 years later this man will still be in prison. So what happens once he ends up in the prison system?
No, certainly in terms of the conviction that he got, he should have been out in a relatively short time. But as soon as he gets into the prison system, his propensity for unexplained violence and off-the-cuff violence really begins. So in Walton Jail, he attacks a prisoner. This begins a kind of pattern where he attacks prisoners, prison workers, and is then kind of transferred from prison to prison because of the danger that he poses to everybody, really. And he was once transported, apparently, from Yorkshire to London. He was chained to the floor of a prison van. So this kind of shows, you know, the fear that he engendered in prison workers.
And he kind of starts out in standard prison, as you say, and gradually he makes his way up through the system, serious high-security prisons. In Parkhurst, he becomes friendly with the Cray twins.
Yes, more notorious criminals. But it was actually, he was in Wandsworth Prison where he tried to poison an inmate. And at that stage, that is where he is transferred to Parkhurst, where he comes into contact with the Cray twins.
Born in 1933 in the heart of the East End, Ronnie and his twin brother Reggie started out as boxers. They became the most feared of London's gang leaders. Ronnie, the eldest by 45 minutes, was the violent, dominant partner. Their extensive protection racket, known as the Firm, existed to extort money from shopkeepers, enabling the twins to visibly enjoy the high life.
The Cray twins were old-school East End London gangsters who kind of ruled their patch through fear and violence. So you can imagine why they were they became fast friends. But he's referred to the two Cray twins who were, they were actually at that point in jail for the murders of gangland figures Jack McVitie and George Cornell. But Ronnie Cray was a schizophrenic who had paranoid delusions. So the two of them, I'd imagine there was quite a bond between them because both had very violent tendencies. And he also boxed with Reggie Cray. Reggie Cray was quite a good boxer, which the two of them had in common, so I'd imagine they had quite a few dust-ups.
He's committed then to the psychiatric facility at Broadmoor, but even there, again, high-security prison, he manages to stage a rooftop protest.
Yeah, this is one of his more notorious protests, but he actually, they believe that he has done millions of pounds worth of damage to various facilities with these protests. In the Broadmoor protests, he managed to get onto the roof of the building and started pulling tiles from the building and caused a huge amount of damage. And at this point, I think it was Broadmoor that kind of launched him into the public imagination in terms of his notoriety, and it began to build from there, really.
He gets out in 87. And what direction does he go in then?
So, 87, he is released from prison and he actually takes up a bare-knuckle boxing career. So he moves to the East End of London, where he kind of reinvents himself, shall we say. So it's at this point that a boxing promoter says to him that it might be an idea to change his name, and the whole Charles Bronson persona is born. So he changes his name to Charles Bronson, and the whole look becomes his trademark. And at this stage as well, while he's out of prison for a very short period, it's only a matter of days, he has said that he actually he killed a Rottweiler in a fight. This is his claim. Killed it for £10,000, which is kind of something that he's referred to in a number of the books that he's written during his time in prison.
So he's got this persona then, shaven head, very muscular, handlebar mustache, and this is where the Charles Bronson myth kind of takes hold. He's released then in 92 and he's back in again 50 days later. So what's going on during that period of the late 80s, early 90s?
Interestingly, the crime that got him back in prison in the late 80s, he actually robbed a jewellery store. And initially, it looked like he wouldn't be convicted for that offence because a number of the witnesses weren't going to proceed with their evidence against him. But it was actually a girlfriend of his that became a state's witness. So at that point, he knew the jig was up, and he pleaded guilty to the offence. So that landed him back in prison. where he continued his kind of, you know, his pattern of extreme violence. But then again, he was released in 1992, and again, just a matter of days, I think it was 60 days or thereabouts, he'd landed himself back in trouble for another violent offence on the outside. So he just couldn't stay out of trouble.
So he's in ever since, for the last 30 years, and effectively the crimes on the inside have become ever more serious.
Yes. So he actually ratcheted up the violence, and I think the most notorious crime behind bars that he's known for is the hostage situation he was involved in with a prison teacher by the name of Phil Danielson.
The siege at Hull Prison, which began when an inmate, Charles Bronson, described as Britain's most dangerous prisoner, took a member of staff hostage, has ended after 43 hours.
So this was in 1999 in a prison in Hull, which is in the in Yorkshire. So he took the art teacher hostage after he had made a number of critiques about Charles Bronson's artwork. He tied a rope around his neck, and he was seen on CCTV dragging Phil Danielson around by the neck, and he also threatened to stab him with a makeshift spear. So this was a horrendous experience for Phil Danielson, who I believe has not been able to work since and has suffered from PTSD in the aftermath of it. So that attack alone landed him with the discretionary life sentence, which is very kind of open-ended and kind of brings us up to where we are today in terms of his parole.
Yeah, we've had inmates taken hostage as well. So he's a very physically imposing person, so he is capable of carrying out these attacks and inflicting very serious damage on people. So they're not idle threats.
Absolutely not. And I think as well is it doesn't take much for him to launch into violence. That is the thing. It's the unpredictability, I think, of it. And infamously in 2014, Charles Bronson is a Tottenham fan, and he launched into an attack on prison guards after Arsenal won the FA Cup in 2014. He's actually spoken about this himself. He just took the result so bad that he lathered himself up in butter and attacked a number of prison guards and injured, I think, over 10 prison guards were injured in this attack. So, critiquing his artwork, Arsenal winning a big match, these are the things that can set him off. And, carnage ensues when he does lose his head and lose his cool.
Yes, a number of Manchester United fans might empathise with him this week, but I don't think you see them going to those extremes. At the same time, he becomes this pop culture figure. He's kind of some sort of celebrity, really, in the UK. Not as much over here. We've got a movie, even.
Yes. This is in 2008. His public notoriety is such that they decided to make a film about him while he was still in prison, which I believe is based off some of the writings he's done. He's been published a number of times for different things, his own prison experiences. He's even done a fitness book based on his fitness regime in solitary confinement. But Tom Hardy actually played him in the film.
My name's Charles Bronson. There's nothing wonky about my upbringing. Like most kids, I got into trouble. But it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. And all my life, I've wanted to be famous.
Some people don't think it's a great film, but I think in terms of Tom Hardy managed to physically transform himself into Charles Bronson, and dramatic, and goes into the life of crime behind bars and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, Tom Hardy also features in a movie about the craze, also not critically acclaimed.
No, certainly not.
But yeah, Hardy does capture the image, I suppose, of the man, if not quite the essence of him. There's also the Channel 4 documentary. As you said, there's been books. There's been artwork that he has produced. Tell us about the ex-Coronation Street actress.
Yeah, so Charles Bronson has been married a number of times. He's actually been married 3 times. His first marriage was before all the madness started, really, and they divorced while he was in prison. But his third marriage was to an ex-Coronation Street actress who they met while he was in prison, obviously.
He's told me that. He said that I have helped him a lot. I mean, I came into his life in 2013, he's helped me an incredible amount. I mean, we were talking before about depression, and I've suffered a lot in the past with my sort of depression and things like that. And when I started writing to Charlie, he was a fantastic support for me. Mm. And in turn, I've been a very good support for him as well.
And they divorced not long after, but the marriage, or the ceremony, should we say, was kind of preceded by all sorts of kind of eccentric behaviour, should we say, where the bride, Paula Williamson, walked through the town with a Charles Bronson lookalike before the ceremony actually took place. And that marriage didn't last long, and tragically she was found dead in her home a short while after they divorced. There were no suspicious circumstances in that, but his love life has been equally colourful as his criminal background.
And he has a son. Does he?
Well, he has 2 sons. So he has a son with his first wife, Irene, who was born before his first major criminal conviction. But there is another son who has come into his life in recent years by the name of George Bambi, who was an ex-paparazzi photographer who reportedly Charles Bronson saw him on a TV program related to his photography and work in the media. And Charles believed that he had the family nose. So contact was made. George then took a DNA test. Hairs were plucked from Charles Bronson's moustache behind bars, and the DNA test was taken.
We had the first visit, which was 2 hours, and we laughed and we joked, and he had me in tears. And then at the end of the visit, he'd taken 2 hairs which he'd pulled out of his moustache, and he put them in a napkin, and he said to me, "Take them. I want you to have them." The next day, I got a phone call, and it was Charlie. And he said, "Do you remember yesterday those things that you gave to, that I gave to you?" So I said, "Yeah." And he said, "I want you to get them tested for DNA." And I said, "Why would I want to get them tested for DNA?" And he said, "Because I think I might be your dad."
And the claim is that he is his biological son. Now, there's members of the Bronson family connected to Charles who doubt this story, but for the time being, you know, that is what we're told to be true, is that George Bambi is his second son, and George has actually been involved in the documentary that appeared on Channel 4 and has been in contact with him very regularly over years, and has been involved in his attempts to get out of prison after nearly 50 years.
Now, at the moment, Michael Peterson / Charles Bronson is Charles Salvador, and this is in tribute to Salvador Dali, the surrealist Spanish painter. So he now sees himself as effectively an artist.
Yeah, his claim is that his art has helped him rehabilitate inside. One of his recent lines in terms of the parole is that he's given up the sawn-off shotgun for a sawn-off paintbrush, which is, he certainly has a way of words. But yeah, 2014, he changed his name again to Charles Salvador, and he seems to be obsessed with Salvador Dali, and the whole look now is based on that. So he said that in 2014, and this is part of the narrative as well that he's putting out there, that, you know, that he's a reformed character. But, you know, he said that Charles Bronson died in 2014 and Charles Salvador was born. So, you know, one door closed and another opened. But whether you believe that now is another story.
We're now brought to the point where for the last 20 years, parole hasn't really come up, such as the seriousness of his crimes. There now is almost a campaign building up around freeing Charles Bronson, we should call him. And he's up for parole. So what are we expecting here?
So his case is actually, it's been reviewed 7 times, but, you know, there's been no movement on getting out of prison due to the perceived threat. So he's the first person under new laws in the UK to apply for a public parole hearing. It's all about the transparency of the process. And he'll be actually the second person to get a public hearing. So the parole hearing is taking place this week over a number of days. So there's two public hearings where he will actually be beamed in from the prison via video link. And then there is a kind of closed hearing on Friday. Now, the Justice Secretary, Dominic Raab, is opposing this. Charles Bronson has actually reached out to Dominic Raab to appeal for his release. But depending on who you talk to, you know, people have varying views on whether he'll be successful.
I've never killed anyone. I've never harmed a woman. Never harmed a child. I'm focused. I'm settled. I can actually smell and taste freedom like I've never, ever done it in life.
One of the things that his team, his defence team, his solicitors are trying to cling to is the fact that, you know, in studies, violent crime and recidivism, the risk drops to nil once you hit 70, which he has, lo and behold. But a lot of psychologists say in his case that just doesn't apply because of the threat he's persistently shown throughout the years that he poses to other people. So it will be interesting to see. His own family members, I think, aren't too confident of his release, but he himself has said that he can taste freedom, and he's saying all the right things in terms of being a reformed character. But interestingly, in the documentary he did on Channel 4, there was no kind of, you know, no contrition around the attack on the art teacher or a lot of the crimes he's committed behind bars. You know, in his words, he's had a party throughout his life. So, you know, I'd say his victims would probably have a different view.
My thanks to Rory Tevlin. I'm Fionnán Sheehan, and today's episode was produced by Mary Carroll, researched by Paul Hyland, with sound by Gavin Hennessy. Archive clips from Channel 4, the BBC, Sky News, The Express, and ITV. If you enjoy the Indo Daily, don't forget to like, follow, and leave us a review.